This is Jay Sekulow, another victory in the fight for life.
I'm an American.
Live from Washington, D.C.
Red, white, and blue.
Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Got a great program for you today. By the way, at the last segment of the first 30 minutes, we're going to be joined by Father Frank Provone of the National Director, of course, of Priests for Life. They do a great job. I've been friends with Father Frank for a long, long time. They do a tremendous work on the life fight, and they had a great victory out of the Archdiocese of New York, folks, so this is another win. There's been this attempt for the nonprofits that have been challenging the HHS mandate, this mandatory requirement that hospitals, Catholic hospitals, private businesses with Christian convictions that don't want to have abortifacients as part of their insurance plans. There has been and this is significant, that another court victory here. The nonprofits pretty much were not allowed to proceed in court. That is until just the other day when a Brooklyn federal court judge ruled that the Archdiocese of New York can, in fact, bring its lawsuit, bring it forward against the HHS mandate. This is huge. Now, HHS, you got to understand, is issuing hundreds of pages of regulations almost on a daily basis. And Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, who's in our office in Washington, D.C. right now, the fact of the matter is, Than, that the more regulations come out, the reality is the worse this is getting.
Absolutely. And these nonprofits, like the one in New York that you're talking about, they're already bracing for these regulations to take effect, Jay. By the way, that's the case, one of the cases, one of 12 that we represent members of Congress in, 79 of them. We've had a lot
actually,
of
actually, let me say something there. In this case, it came out of the the U.S. District Court judge there in Brooklyn, New York, the Eastern District of New York. We actually, our brief representing 79 members of Congress was actually cited in the court's opinion.
Exactly right. And I actually talked to Jeff Landry's office this morning about that. He, of course, led the charge over in Congress alongside us. But you said it right, Jay. I mean, we've had success on the for-profit side of the ledger. This is the first one where we've seen progress on the nonprofit side. And this decision, it's very specific, Jay. It rightfully recognizes that the harm that these nonprofits are facing, it's imminent, it's real, it's happening now, and the government has done nothing to remove that threat. So it's a big development.
To the contrary, the government is the one you're fighting here. Folks, I want you to understand, we are fighting in court against the United States Department of Justice and the Obama administration. That is who the defendants are represented by. HHS is represented by the Obama administration. Folks, we want to get your comments on this. As the last day on this topic, how important do you think, as we go to the end of the year, is this life issue for you? Do you think we should continue this fight? Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. And how do you feel about being compelled to violate your conscience by buying a product, your insurance, that has abortifacients as part of it, and you have no choice? 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us about that, we'll be taking your calls. Again, another nice victory. U.S. District Court judge in Brooklyn, Judge Brian Kogan, refused the Department of Justice request to dismiss a case brought by the Archdiocese of New York. That's big. Folks, this is the first nonprofit case that's allowed to move forward. We had our win last week at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit, where, in fact, it's now an injunction in place not allowing the enforcement of the HHS mandate. So there's some really good law developing here. I'm encouraged on the trend on this. The trend is clearly going in our direction, so we will continue to keep everybody posted. By the way, 41,178 of you have already signed on to our committee opposing this abortion pill mandate. You'll be filing, the committee's filing briefs in dozens of cases around the country. Help us get to 50,000. You can do so by going to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. If you want to fight for life, go to ACLJ.org. Sign on to that petition, that committee, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Folks, while you're there, it's the end of the year. Make an online gift. It's tax deductible to the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge right now. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, U.S. District Judge Brian Kogan in Brooklyn, New York, refused the United States Department of Justice attempt to have dismissed the HHS, they're representing HHS in this, the mandate case. The Department of Justice representing HHS wanted the case dismissed because the rulings haven't gone into effect for another year. They give the nonprofits a year to comply with this mandate. You have a year to decide how to violate your conscience. I mean, you understand that's what they're saying here. You have a year to decide how you violate your conscience. And that we think that's absurd. You probably do as well. And we want your phone calls on this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking your calls. And let's go right to them. Who do we have, Dan?
Let's get right to them. Let's start with Benny calling from Texas on line one. Benny, you're on the air.
Hi, Benny.
Thanks for your guys' show. You
Thanks.
Do a great job. I'm in the medical field myself. I mean, I'm a lab technician and have been for 34 years. And this Obamacare is just like, I wish, I mean, if you could just give me one direction on what I personally could do in Texas to change and knock this thing out of the water.
No, you ask a great question. I'm going to have Will Haynes check right now. I don't know, is Texas setting up the state exchanges or are they not? We're going to find that out. There is right now, Than, a move where a number of the states are saying they are not setting up the state exchanges, putting the pressure on the federal government, who, of course, can't really do this. What are you hearing on Capitol Hill on that? Because I know there's, I think, 21 states have said no to state exchanges. Nine are still deciding. You could have a majority of the states in the United States not willing to set up state exchanges. You've got the challenge to Obamacare through the mandate. We've got those cases going on. Liberty University's cases has gone back down to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals for another view. This fight's not over. It's just taken a different view.
Right, and the state effort here, and I think Texas is among those 30 who are considering not moving forward, Jay, but that is front and center. If these states don't
actually
set up
Texas
the exchange,
has decided they will not set up the exchange, so that's some good news there.
Right, and I think that number is going to be around 30, and that's something that I don't think the federal government can take on. I mean, they were expecting each of the 50 states to partner with them in this, and the states are saying, hey, listen, we can't afford this. We're not going to set it up. It's your law. You go ahead and set up the exchanges, and, Jay, I don't think they're going to be ready for it by the time the deadline rolls
And then around. I think the federal government, so you're asking, you know, Benny, what can you do? I don't think the federal government's going to be in a position to do this either because of the sheer cost of this. This is why we're, you know, look, we're having to kind of do this in a chip away approach, where we have to take bits and pieces. You've got the mandate cases. Those are going forward in court right now. By the way, over 41,519 of you have signed online. We've added hundreds in the last couple of minutes. Actually, 41,524. You go to ACLJ.org. Sign on to this committee opposing these abortion pill mandates. Today's the last day for you to do it on the radio broadcast. Or you can call us at 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. But remember this, folks. We got a U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit has held that we've got an injunction in place not allowing the enforcement of the HHS abortion pill mandate. It can't be applied during the pendency of the appeal because we went to an appellate court and won there. The Archdiocese of New York is allowed to proceed in their case in New York. We've had another case that we've won. So the momentum here is starting to become pretty significant really quickly. So, you know, we're going to have to fight it state by state and kind of issue by issue. It's a very different approach to have to handle this. It's not just one challenge of Obamacare. We tried that at the Supreme Court. We were not successful. So now what do? You go back and you attack it piece by piece, part by part. And that's precisely what we're doing at the ACLJ. Let's go right back to the phones if you want to talk to us on air. It's 800-684-3110.
Let's go to John calling from Colorado on line two. John, you're on the air.
Hi, John.
Hi, Jay. I'm a Democrat and somewhat of a liberal.
Okay.
I don't agree with the HHS mandate, and there's a lot about Obamacare that I don't really care about. But I think that, you know, unfortunately, the Democrats are the only ones that do anything about health care. We need to do something about health care in this country.
Well, there's been, you know, look, the Republicans have proposals out, too. But the fact is you got a divided House and a divided Senate. The House is controlled by the Republicans. The Democrats control the Senate. The White House is controlled by the president. He put Obamacare through. It got passed. But you bring up an interesting question, John. I wanted to ask you this because I've had a lot of friends of mine that are liberal and voted Democratic, but they are not real fans of the Obamacare legislation either, specifically the mandates. They don't like this mandatory, you must do this. What is it about it that you don't like as a Democrat?
I don't believe in abortion.
Okay, so your pro-life convictions have you nervous about Obamacare. I understand that, and I think a lot of people share that concern. With regard to health care, Than, though, the fact of the matter is there is a simple approach that can fix a lot of this if we could get the government to move forward on this without having to redo the entire healthcare system.
No question about it. We've had Dr. Paul Brown on this broadcast a lot of times. He's had several comprehensive bills that address several components of this, and I think that would be a place to start. But I would say this to John, Jay, and this is something that a point that I made to senators yesterday, actually. This has huge ramifications, not just on health care, but also on jobs. I mean, the three companies that we represent in just three cases, you're talking about 350 employees. Jay, they are facing about $10 million in fines each and every year if they violate this mandate. So what you're talking about is you're talking about either violating your conscience or closing your doors and costing ourselves 350 jobs. So if you think we have a health care crisis, what about a jobs crisis? That's what's going to be the real effect of
this. Well, it's interesting. Also, our news team just sent me an interpreting statement from an official with Xerox who makes money implementing the exchanges for states, said that the logistical task HHS faces, this is what he said, these are systems that typically take 2 or 3 years to build. The last time I looked at the calendar, that's not what we're working with. I mean, that tells you something right there. I mean, the people that are implementing this are saying it can't happen. We can't get it done that quickly. It's not going to weigh. It's going to work. So, again, that's the reason we're fighting. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And, by the way, coming up on the broadcast, Father Frank Provone from Priests for Life. You're going to want to talk with him. Again, 800-684-3110. Than, who's next?
Let's go to Job calling from New York on line three. Job, you're on the air.
Hi, you're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, you know, this is really a mess because there's a reason I have that name, okay? That's my nickname, and it's because I don't back down as far as doing what's right as a Christian. And
okay.
To hear about people that are saying we can't do this and we'll be forced to do that's not even the case. I mean, how do we really expect, if you really want to be a true Christian, you expect God's plan to ever unfold and come to be how it is, how can we get there by disobeying, you know, directly things that, you know, he wants us to do or perhaps not do?
Well, I think that people are standing up. I mean, look, I mean, we're representing companies that employ thousands and thousands of people. If you look at the number of 40 lawsuits have been filed by major, including major corporations. We're going to be announcing a big one on Monday. I'm not going to, can't announce it today, but I mean, huge. So I think, Job, the real fact of the matter is, the good news is people are standing up. People are fighting back. No one wants to take this lying down. And let me make it very practical here. We've been talking about this for a week. Now, I want you to just think about, in a week. 41,607 people have contacted us online only in 4 days. That's 10,000 people a day saying we're not going to tolerate this. We want to stand up and fight. That doesn't include the thousands, probably 6,000 or 7,000 phone calls we've received. I venture to say that right now we are probably close to 47,000, 48,000 phone calls by the weekend. Total signatures by the weekend. We'll have had 50,000 Americans say we're not going to do this. So I'm encouraged. We got to fight back. And by the way, if you're not one of these 41,607 that are standing with us, you should go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition, that committee right now, standing up against this mandate, or call us at 877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let's grab another call before the break.
Let's go to Karen calling from Washington on line two. Karen, you're on the air.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. Okay, the thing I'm wondering, I don't understand the Obamacare. I mean, I don't know if I'm the only one that doesn't.
No, trust me. Nobody understands Obamacare. So you're in good company there. Nancy Pelosi said we wouldn't even know what was in the bill until we passed it. So don't feel like you're not in good company. Go ahead with your question.
Okay. So where can I go? Is there anything on the internet or that I can...
That's a great question. Than, there's not a resource of here's your new health care plan under Obamacare because there's so much still in play. The state exchanges need to be set up, and a lot of states are saying no. Mandates are being challenged. 335 pages of regulations came out this past week. So there's not one source yet, is there, to where to go on this?
There's not, because implementation is going to be so convoluted. It's going to be done through the states, through the federal government. I would say this, though, to Karen. We have a lot of information on our website about what we've been talking about, the individual mandate, this HHS mandate. I would encourage her to go to our docket blog. A lot of information there. But as far as the implementation, Jay, you're not going to know till it's right upon you, and you have to make that decision.
Yeah, I'll tell you something, folks. This is going to be a fight that you cannot imagine. It's going to be a really big battle. And that's why we're in courts already across the country. We're winning at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. We've got other cases we're going to be filing next week on this. Folks, as we go to a break, let me encourage you to do something right now. I need our friends to come and help us out here at the ACLJ. It's the end of the year. It's a very important month for us. December is a big part of our budget. If you have not yet supported the work of the ACLJ, go to ACLJ.org. I'd appreciate an online gift right now. Certainly sign on to our committee. But ACLJ.org, any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So if you donate $10, we get $2,500, we get $1,000. I mean, it's really significant. So go to ACLJ.org. You can call in as well at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Sign on to that committee now and stand with us at the ACLJ. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First
First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Well, joining us on the phone is someone that almost really needs no introduction. He heads up Priest for Life. It's Father Frank Provone. We've been friends for decades, and we've worked with Frank very closely on so many issues defending life. And Father Frank has been one of the most, I think, persuasive voices in the pro-life movement in our lifetime. And Father Frank, it's great to have you with us today. Thanks.
Thank you, Jay. Good to be with you.
Let me ask you this. We've got a decision that we had out of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit last week, where the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals issued an injunction which stated that the HHS mandate could not apply to O'Brien Construction Company, which is the client we represent, a large construction company, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. Then we have the decision that the Brooklyn Federal Court ruling just the other day that the Archdiocese of New York's lawsuit was very positive. What's your sense, first of all, Father Frank, the nature of this fight on this mandate? How significant is it?
Well, it's more significant than first meets the eye, because I think a lot of people, you know, they hear HHS, they hear mandate, they hear some of these other technical terms, and they really don't know what to make of it. But if we put it for people in these very simple terms of, hey, this is about the freedom to live your religion in America. This is about freedom to be able to do what you think is right, not just on church in church on Sunday, but at work on Monday. And then it begins to make sense to people that, hey, this is very important. So it can't be more fundamental. I mean, life, of course, is the most fundamental, right? Because unless you're alive, you can neither be free nor religious. But then religious freedom is close on its heels to being such a fundamental human right and a fundamental constitutional right.
You know, and the interesting thing about this, of course, is it's the intersection of both the fight for life and the importance and sanctity of human life and religious freedom. So this is one of those rare moments. I've said this in looking at the cases I've litigated for so many years. This is one of those rare cases where you have the intersection of the life issue and freedom of religion. And I have said I think this is the most significant religious freedom case of our lifetime, and it certainly is one of the most significant cases for the right to life. We just had an election. I've heard some of your comments in the last couple of weeks as we've discussed this. The fight for life takes on, I think, Father Frank Provone, a new meaning right now. The battle's going to be tougher. We've got an administration that clearly is the most pro-abortion administration that we've seen in our lifetime.
It certainly is. And, you know, we have a collision course that has been set up between this administration and the pro-life movement, the Catholic Church, and so many other people who simply believe in the values this country was founded on. So we've got to oppose this with all our might. You know, in a sense, this kind of situation is very good for believers, for the church, and for Americans, because the stark contrast between a person and an institution, the presidency in particular, that is supposed to be upholding these values, and where it stands now, that contrast helps people precisely to rethink these issues and to get reengaged in them. I've never been in a position of having to sue a presidential administration, but as you know, we at Priests for Life have one of these lawsuits against this HHS mandate, and it's really, I mean, it helps us to reassess, you know, why are we here in the first place? Why did God give rise to this ministry? Well, it's precisely for moments like this, to stand as a rallying point for people and to be a voice in this darkness.
You've been such a champion for life for so many years. I want to play something that was aired on CNN, and then we're going to get your comment on this. This is about, Father Frank, this is about the Hobby Lobby case, which, again, we've got a whole series of these cases that we've dealt with over the last really 6 months, I guess, where we filed numerous lawsuits. Some of them are for construction companies, others hotel chains. I mean, on and on it goes. You've got the nonprofits, of course, as well. But listen to this comment from Carol Costello of CNN, and then you and I are going to comment on it.
Consider this. Hobby Lobby says the government is forcing the company to follow a law against its own beliefs. There are likely some Hobby Lobby employees who, one, don't feel that these pills cause abortions, because there's controversy about that, and two, want access to them. So isn't Hobby Lobby imposing its will on those workers?
You know, just take a listen to that statement, and I want to kind of break that down. The idea that Hobby Lobby or the Archdiocese or the construction company and other businesses we're representing have no rights to say in this is preposterous. But, Father Frank, they are trying to make the argument that by, you know, if employers are allowed to opt out of these HHS provisions, that women don't have access to any kind of contraceptive or proper care. And that's just not the facts. The fact is these employers don't want to pay for it. And that's what we're talking about, is a violation of conscience here.
It's a violation of conscience. And, you know, the day that the mandate took effect, August the 1st, I brought my staff together and I said, look, you know, we're not following this mandate. And, you know, they told us, oh, you know, you have a year to, you know, year to adapt to the rule. We don't need a year. You don't adapt to injustice. You oppose it. So I said to the staff, you know that we're not going to follow this mandate, whether we win in the courts or not. And they all applauded 100%. But I made it clear to them, I says, it's not because we think you are going to want to use contraceptives or abortifacients. It's not even because we think you or we know you believe in what we teach. It's because we have the freedom to create an insurance policy or coverage or to buy coverage that corresponds to our beliefs. That's our right. And it also, you know, the interesting thing as we have been going through our lawsuit, is how this infringes also on freedom of speech.
Absolutely.
And that's very interesting because you know, whether or not an employee is going to take these services or not, doesn't matter. They come to us, we still have to tell them that this is included in the coverage. And now we're forced, I mean, the freedom to say what you want to say is also the freedom not to say what you don't want to say. And we don't want to be saying to people, oh, we're covering this, now you come work for us and we'll cover these practices, when they're practices we teach people shouldn't do.
All right, so let's take a look at the kind of what I call the illogical consequences of this. Ultimately, I think these cases, from a litigation standpoint, we're going to end up having these cases at the Supreme Court. That's where these are going to play. But in the interim, you said something important. The idea that the government says we're going to give you a year so that you can violate in a year, you know, get a year to get your conscience ready to be violated, that was almost as absurd as the regulations itself.
I think so too. It really absurd. I mean, what do you expect us to do in that year? You know, figure out a way that somehow what we thought was not okay is now okay? I mean, it's really insulting. It's illogical and it's also insulting. You know, it's almost like, yeah, they'll give them time to grow up, so to speak, when you're talking to an immature person.
All right, Father Frank Provone is the head of Priests for Life. Folks, a great organization. Father Frank, what's the best website for people to take a listen? Would it be priestsforlife.org?
Priestsforlife.org, yes. And it's not just for priests, not just for Catholics, for everybody that wants to do something about these issues.
Absolutely. And by the way, I want to say this because I'm glad you brought that up. That is absolutely true. I have worked with Father Frank for a long time. We have worked across many denominational lines as co-laborers in the field of life, and Priests for Life does a great work, and there's a lot of great resources at their website at Priests for Life. My guest has been Father Frank Provone, who has been a good friend. I always say you've got to have a Catholic priest. Everybody should have a Catholic priest. Father Frank's mine. There you go. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Let me encourage you, the last day for you to sign on to our committee that is opposing these mandates, as Father Frank just said so perfectly. Over 41,000 of you have signed up online alone with phone calls. We are well over 50,000. You go to your phones right now, add your name to this committee, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org and sign up for the committee there. But let me encourage you also, when you go to the website, make an online donation here at the end of the year. We're in a matching challenge. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. It's tax deductible. aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. Again, to stand up for life, I want you to do it today. 877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. Yesterday, Jay was on Fox News with Bill Hemmer talking about another issue you've heard a lot about on this broadcast, Fast and Furious, the scandal that continues to surround the Attorney General there. His chief of staff recently resigned. But Jay went on Fox News yesterday with Bill Hemmer to talk about the latest. We wanted you to hear that update. We're going to play that for you now.
There is new fallout now in the investigation into the operation known as Fast and Furious, a disciplinary panel now recommending that these four senior managers at the ATF be fired over the botched gun-running sting. That's the headline of the day, and that's what brings us to BYA, because you asked. Off of Twitter, Kathy Parks writes, what happens with Fast and Furious now? Is the case over, or is it far from over? Jay Sekulow, chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, that center supports a lawsuit against the Attorney General and the Justice Department, urging them to turn over some documents in the case that, Jay, I know you believe are critical. With these Absolutely. Recommendations, by the way, a panel has to move on this. No one's lost their job yet. Is Right. this the end of it?
No, this is the next logical step in an investigatory process that, frankly, Bill, has gone on way too long. It's taking too much time to get there. I think the right decisions were made, with senior ATF officials being recommended, but as you said, recommended for termination. There's still a review process that goes on, and these were the ones that were responsible for the actual implementation of Fast and Furious. But the fact of the matter is that this is just the beginning, only because the real problem here, besides the tragic death of the Border Patrol agent, which is unbelievably, not only sad and tragic, but that family, Terry family, deserves some answers. But the fact of the matter is, the Department of Justice has still not rendered documents necessary for Congress to complete its oversight activities, and that's why you've got this civil contempt action in federal court right now. So that's
okay,
ongoing.
Give me a sense of what's in the documents that would tell you or us what happened.
Well, what we have to find out is exactly why the Department of Justice in February issued a letter saying there was no gun walking at all whatsoever, no such activity took place. And 8 months later, they revoked that letter and said, well, we made a mistake. That's not true. Because, Bill, if you were called to testify before a Senate panel, or I was, and we submitted false statements in February, we don't get to say, sorry, we made a mistake, and withdraw them 8 months later. You could be facing criminal sanctions. So the reality is those documents are necessary to find out what was going on and what was the, if there is a cover-up here, why. Now, you do have the, you know, chief of staff for the Department of Justice has resigned as of Friday of this week. He gave his notice in, and as Congressman Daryl Issa said, that was long overdue. I concur with the congressman, but this is the beginning. This is unfortunately rolling. It's kind of a drip, drip, drip approach to getting the answers here. I think what the Department of Justice should have just come clean in the beginning, said what happened. It was an awful mistake. It was terrible. It'll never happen again. And here's who was responsible. But that has not yet been answered. Four senior ATF agents have been charged, great, or have been accused and should be recommended to be terminated. That's probably the right thing, no doubt about it. But there's a lot more to it than
You're saying this is just the beginning then?
I really do, Bill. I think that civil contempt action in court's going to address the document issue, and then ultimately you find out who's responsible for actually implementing these procedures and operation, and they'll be held.
Yeah, we'll see what the ATF does in these recommendations. In the meantime, I know how strongly you feel about this, and you want answers from the Department of Justice to explain why that letter was submitted and then retracted, and perhaps those answers are coming
absolutely.
Or not. Jay, thank you. Jay Sekulow to our viewers at home.
Thanks, Bill.
Folks, that was Jay yesterday with Bill Hemmer on Fox News about Fast and Furious. Listen, again, we're talking about this HHS mandate, the federal government's push to violate the First Amendment rights of religious institutions, private businesses with religious beliefs, force them to provide access to contraception coverage. If you want to stand with us against that push, call now 877-989-2255, and we'll add your name to that committee.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We've decided to dedicate this week to our Fight for Life, which we're doing. By the way, a lot of you are getting email updates from the ACLJ, which I encourage you, if you're not on the ACLJ email list or not following us on Twitter or Facebook, you need to do it. We've got great information and great resources. Jordan's got a great Twitter account as well. Go to aclj.org. You can get all the information right there. And by the way, this is some good news. We've got a series of briefs we're going to be filing with the court. We've already jumped up since we've been on the air a couple of hundred. We're already 33,212 of you have joined the cause opposing this abortion pill mandate, defending religious liberty in courts around the country. We want you on these briefs as part of our committee. It's basically the committee opposing this abortion pill mandate and this chip away of Obamacare. You could do so. It's really easy to add your name. Just go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Or you can call us at 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And also, we've got a brand new movie out about the life issue. It's called Life Happens. And when you call in the number or you go to the website, you can find out how you can get that as well. And we're very encouraged about that. So aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. And I encourage you to call. Let me go to Carly Gamble, who's with me in the media center here. Carly, you've got a case. We talked to CeCe Hall about some of these yesterday, but let's talk about this case. We call it Evergreen, these crisis pregnancy cases, because the crisis pregnancy centers are now on the front lines of the abortion fight, and there are groups dedicated to silencing their voice. What's the status and where are things standing right now?
Well, that's right. We are actually awaiting right now a ruling from the Second Circuit Federal Court of Appeals. An injunction was granted by the district court in our case. In our favor. That's correct.
So everybody understands out there, there was this attempt to silence these crisis pregnancy centers, make them say things that violate their conscience. We went to federal court, got an injunction. That injunction's in place right now. That law's not enforced, but, of course, they appealed it.
That's right. And the Second Circuit now will have an opportunity either to uphold that and agree that in fact, these CPCs, these crisis pregnancy centers, cannot be silenced by the government. And that's exactly what the fight is about. And so we are expecting a ruling fairly quickly here in that regard.
When we say quickly, of course, with the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, let me tell you, I've litigated up there a long time. Quickly could be 6 weeks. It could be 6 years. I mean, they are very slow. Folks, I think these are cases that could well be headed to the Supreme Court of the United States. I'll tell you what, we got Ed White on the phone here. Let's take a call, then we'll go back to Ed. Than, who do we have?
A lot of calls coming in. We're going to start with Kelly calling from Ohio on line 5. Kelly, you're on the broadcast.
Hi, Kelly.
How you doing, Jay?
Great.
Good. Yeah, I was just calling with Obamacare. My daughter, she has a lot of medical issues, autoimmune deficiency syndrome. She needs a treatment every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's $18,000 every 3 weeks for my insurance company.
Yep.
My boy went through something similar, and he was up over $1 million by the time it was all said and done. But I do not in any way want the government dictating my daughter's treatment.
Yeah, let me tell you, this is going to be the big challenge in this healthcare battle, folks. I have a lot of friends that are in the medical community, doctors with major hospitals. I'm talking about major institutions. I was talking to my brother yesterday about a situation with his father-in-law where they're saying, well, if you're on this insurance plan, we don't want to see you for 3 months. Folks, 3 months will be in a year will look like really quick. In England, if you need a hip replacement, you could wait 5 years. 5 years to get a hip replacement. And this is where we're going. This is the model we're going down. So, Kelly, what's going to have to happen here? And this is where the state exchanges not being set up really puts the Obama administration in a difficult position. Than, explain to Kelly and the people that are listening to the broadcast right now what the impact of the states saying, no, we're not doing this, what that means for the federal government.
Yeah, under the law, Jay, these states have to set up these exchanges by October so that customers can start looking for packages. But listen, what the states are saying is we can't afford it. You're talking about almost $1 billion to set up one of these exchanges. We can't do it. So if they don't do it, Jay, the federal government has to set up their own exchange. But what you're talking about is the federal government having to do that for maybe up to 30 states. They're not going to be able to do
that.
No
way.
And Jay, what I heard today, the way they're going to offset this cost is going to be pass along a 3.5% surcharge to every premium that's sold. So all of those increased costs
guess
plus 3.5% just up and up and up.
And guess who pays for that, folks? All of us. Our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Carly's talking about the situation with these crisis pregnancy center cases. Let me ask Carly another question. I've got something for Ed White. The reality is, and what people need to understand, is who's behind these cases. Of course, the defendant is the city of New York because it's their policy and regulation. But who's out there promoting trying to get these crisis pregnancy center regulations put in place? The organizations.
Well,
guess who, folks?
Yeah, that's the irony. It's Planned Parenthood.
What
it's
a
NARAL.
Shock.
You know, it's the voice of abortion. It's the competitor is what they term themselves. They say, look, we are competing with the crisis pregnancy centers. We don't want people to hear the message of life. We want people to come to us and have these abortions. So it's exactly who it is. It's Planned Parenthood and NARAL.
So folks, even when the case says, you know, Evergreen Crisis Pregnancy Center or whatever they're calling it, the caption of the case versus the city of New York, it's Planned Parenthood. It's NARAL. It's the pro-choice America. That's who's doing this. So what you got to do is beat them back in court. And, folks, we got a huge victory out of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit last week. And let me tell you what that means. We beat the Obama administration in court, okay? The Department of Justice is defending HHS, Health and Human Services. They filed briefs. They're litigating the case. And we carried the day at the Eighth Circuit for this injunction pending the full appeal. That's a huge victory. We beat the Obama administration. Now, this is the question I'm asking you folks. Do you want to join our team that's winning and fighting against the Obama administration on this healthcare mandate and this healthcare plan generally? If you do want to join with us, let me encourage you to make the call or go to ACLJ.org and sign on to this committee. We want to get 100,000 signatures. We're about a third of the way there, maybe a little bit more. We want your help on this. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Let's take another call, then I've got a question for Ed. Who do we have, Than?
Let's go to Jeannie calling from New Jersey on line 4. Jeannie, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi. Well, I'm for the Obamacare package, and I believe that as far as...
What is it about the Obamacare package that you like?
Everything.
Well, what's everything? I mean, what plan did you have before?
Abortion was in this country and in this Congress forever. And now all of a sudden, Planned Parenthood hasn't changed any of its practices.
No, but now they have, because they've got an ally in the White House.
They have a what?
Ally? A friend in the White House.
They don't have an ally. They have an
ally. Oh, really?
Well,
let me play something for you right now if you don't think they have an ally. Let's play the clip of President of the United States, President Obama, when he's running about Planned Parenthood. You don't think he has an ally? Jeannie, I want you to listen to this and then tell me he doesn't.
There will always be people, many of goodwill, who do not share my view on the issue of choice. On this fundamental issue, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield.
All right, so, Jeannie, you don't think they have an ally in the White House?
You had allies in the White House before Obama came. They just were under sheep's wool. The thing is, the Planned Parenthood is doing nothing different than they were doing before.
So you like abortion. You think abortion should be...
Against abortion.
Oh, you're against abortion.
Senior.
Well, let me ask you a question. Hold it. You're against abortion. How do you feel about your taxpayer dollars paying for abortion?
Trying to kill the Obama thing because our seniors are being killed with...
Hey, look, no, that's not... You know why that's not true? Are you a senior citizen, Jeannie?
The seniors being...
Jeannie, are you a senior citizen?
Hello?
Yes, Jeannie, if you're a senior citizen, you had either Medicare or Medicaid before Obamacare. Did you not?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did you get good service?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so why would you want to change that? Because you're going to get it changed. Let me tell you who's going to suffer the most under Obamacare, Jeannie. I'm being real brutal and honest with you. You, senior citizens, you will be the last in line to get government-approved services when you need them. They're going to do a cost-benefit analysis, and the senior citizen's going to be on the low end of that stick. So I really want you to – there's some good information on our website, and I appreciate you calling in and listening, but please read the information that's posted because you, Jeannie, as a senior, will be the most at risk if Obamacare gets into full force, and that's the fact. Putting the abortion issue completely aside, you are the one that's in the most jeopardy here. I keep saying we're going to go to Ed White. Ed, let me do that right now. Give us a quick update, and then we'll talk to you after the break here. I've only got like a minute, less than 30 seconds, actually. Ed, you've got a case you're arguing Friday. Give us a little bit about that, and we'll talk about it after the break.
Sure. We represent Cordy and Lute Johann. It's one of the largest construction companies in central south Illinois. They have sued the Department of Justice over this mandate because they do not want to have to pay for abortion-inducing drugs, sterilization, and contraception. We have a hearing on our preliminary injunction motion this Friday, and we've asked the court for a ruling either that day or soon thereafter because our client's policy goes into effect on January 1st, 2013.
Right.
So in 3 weeks, if they do not comply with the mandate they're facing, thousands and thousands of dollars in fines every day, close to $1 million a year.
All right, folks, we're going to talk more with Ed and Carly when we come back. But, hey, listen, folks, you hear about the work of the ACLJ? Go online right now. Make a gift sometime today. It's doubled. We're in a matching challenge, ACLJ.org, or call us at 877-989-2255. Add your name to this committee. We're fighting back. We're winning, but we need your help to stay engaged in this. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We're in a matching challenge. Any amount you give, we get a match for, or you can call us at 877-989-2255. Sign on to this committee. Be part of the team rolling back Obamacare. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in just a moment.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering
this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs, sterilization, and their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed numerous lawsuits challenging this flawed mandate, and the ACLJ is filing many amicus briefs backing other challenges. The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the broadcast. We're going to play for you now a compilation of segments from our new DVD, Life Happens. It's a story of abortion survivors. After we play this segment, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you some information about how you can go online and how you can stream the entire DVD. We're going to give you a little taste of it now, and then afterwards we'll tell you how you can go online and get the rest of it. So let's go ahead and play that now.
What about a woman who becomes pregnant from a rape? Can anything good really come out of that?
With a straight face, I can't tell a woman who's been raped by some miscreant that she is morally obligated to deliver this man's baby and take it through that 9-month period of knowing that, constantly having the reminder of the rape, of the carnage. That is something that I wouldn't in my heart, you know, tell some woman. I just couldn't do it. Would I banish that woman to go to some back alley abortion mill and do that? No, I wouldn't. So maybe there should be exceptions for the extreme case of violations like that, incest and rape and things. I don't know.
99% of the abortions are done for pure choice and convenience, and they're not fetal abnormalities. It's not rape or incest. So the rape and incest argument is a red herring. And it's a red herring because it's to take the focus away from the reality. Let's deal with reality. 99% of the abortions are for one reason and one reason only: the child's unwanted.
In 1970, my biological mother had been raped. And I can't imagine what she went through and all the pain and suffering, but she made the decision to go through 9 months of pregnancy despite all that she had gone through. I'm glad she did, because I was adopted at 6 weeks of age and grew up in a phenomenal family. And I can't imagine being blessed anymore with the circumstances.
I was born to a mother who was not supposed to be able to have a child and had actually adopted a child 14 years previous. Had gone through a divorce. It was just a single mother, actually away from her husband and her child. And she was a practical nurse caring for an elderly man, and in that family there was an alcoholic son. And he came in and forced his physical affections on her. And unbelievably, some would have said tragically, she conceived. And when she found herself with such minimal income and no husband, no real stable home, in 1943 she went to have an abortion, and she went to a doctor who said, I can't do it, I won't do it. I was born because a doctor had some conviction, and a child that was unexpected, unwanted, unplanned for, the result of a forced relationship, was born. And Betty and I, or my wife of more than 46 years now, we're privileged to have three children, We've shared joy all over the world because someone believed that all life is valuable. I'm sure there are a lot of people in the pro-abortion movement that think I'm one of their best arguments for abortion. The stands that I've taken against certain practices and a lack of principle and a lack of appreciation for the value of life.
I was 12 years old when my mother told me the story. It was a brutal rape. She was abducted by three men and only one of the men raped her and then threatened to kill her if she told about it. And since they were men who had money and since they had such a reputation for brutality, then the family decided not to take it to the police. They discussed abortion. They considered it, but it was against the law. And even though they were poor, they were a very honest, law-abiding family. Been married to my husband 44 years, three precious sons, daughter-in-laws, four grandchildren, and one more on the way. And in that situation, you would think someone should have an abortion, but this girl didn't. And I was born as a result of it, and I'm very grateful to them to this day.
My mom never made it to the abortion clinic, but I found many women who had every intent on having an abortion, but for whatever reason, it fell through at the 11th hour.
At 14, she had ran away from home, hitchhiked clear here to California, and was involved in a bunch of stuff and ended up getting pregnant.
I started considering, you know, what am I going to do with that baby? You know, am I going to just carry it around with me? I don't have a car. I don't drive. I have no money, you know. So, yeah, the ideal thing would to be to have an abortion. That's what I had 100% decided to do.
And she scheduled her abortion, went in the day of her scheduled abortion, and went in, sat in the doctor's office. She had about a 10-minute wait before the doctor called her in, and during that time she was just really conflicted and started battling all these thoughts and questions on what she was doing. And for the first time, I mean, she was set to do it.
And the machine broke.
Told her to go back out in the waiting room, and instead of sitting out in the waiting room, she left and said, I can't do this.
I just knew, just sitting there, I just knew that it was wrong.
She saw it as a sign and left, ran out, and said she was going to have the baby.
There was no choice. There was no doubt in my mind that what I had to do, so I left.
So, I mean, mom, statutory rape, economic conditions, no support. So you had no chance to be a contributing member to society. So did you spend like most of your youth in jail, or are you just sucking the welfare system? What are you doing now?
Well, you know what? We actually did. I mean, even though my mom decided to keep her child, and that's an awesome thing because I got a chance to live, it didn't mean that my childhood was the easiest thing on earth. And people told me all along the path that I would amount to nothing, and it's just not true. I feel that anyone can change and anyone can become something. I had my daughter, and my daughter's going to have children, and they're going to have children, and that line would have been stopped.
I just met someone, and we're like dating for, I guess, 4 to 5 months, and so I got pregnant.
I thought about it. I actually went to the abortion clinic like 5 times, because I couldn't get myself to do it, you know?
How pregnant were you at the time?
I guess I was like 7-8 weeks.
So you're 7-8 weeks. So they explain to you what the baby looked like at 7-8 weeks and stuff like that, or
not really.
They didn't tell you. Did they show you an ultrasound or let you hear the heartbeat or anything?
They just make they do an ultrasound just to make sure how many weeks they're pregnant, right?
Then what did you think when you saw that?
They don't make you see it.
You don't get to see it?
No.
Why?
Because I think, you know, a lot of people would change their minds.
But don't they want them to change their mind?
It didn't seem like it, you know.
Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, like to me, they're, I guess they're very heartless, you know, because they don't show you, like, they're not gonna show you what they look like, or they, like, when the ultrasound is turned off, you know, because they don't want you to listen to, like, the heartbeat.
So they have, like, headphones on or something, or they just
have it.
So you can't even hear the heartbeat?
No.
Folks, those are segments from our new DVD, Life Happens. If you want to take a look at that entire production, you can actually call right now. We'll give you information to stream that online. If you call 877-989-2255, that was just a little taste of what this production is. These are abortion survivor stories. If you want to see the whole thing, it's a very powerful production, folks. Again, call 877-989-2255 to get those instructions. Again, 877-989-2255, and we'll show you how you can watch that online.
The fact is, the HHS mandate not only violates the free exercise of religion guaranteed by the First Amendment, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. This unprecedented attack is not only morally offensive, but unconstitutional as well. Join the legal fight. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.com.